Annenberg Radio News.
The film has a universal appeal because it's telling a universal story.
We talked to the director of the film Skin about issues of racial identity. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 29th, 2009. I'm Brittany Knotts. A gunman shot and wounded two men in a parking lot of a North Hollywood synagogue early this morning. Police don't have a motive for the shooting, which took place near the Adat Yesharon Valley Sephardic Orthodox Synagogue. Police officials say the shooting may have been a random act of violence rather than a hate crime. Matthew Friedman with the Anti-Defamation League says violent hate crimes at synagogues are not common.
I was out there at the scene most of the morning. It was a massive police presence. There was a huge response. They've been very responsive to the Jewish community, not just in this case, but in general.
Police questioned a 17-year-old boy, but later released him. He is not a suspect, but is still a person of interest. The two victims were hospitalized and are in good condition. They are expected to make a full recovery. The man convicted of stabbing and killing a USC film student was sentenced to 16 years to life in prison today. Travian Ford was found guilty in August of stabbing Brian Frost in September 2008. Prosecutors say Ford got mad because Frost and two friends made noise by slamming a metal gate in the early morning hours. Ford is a former USC football game usher. The once-troubled Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital is one step closer to reopening. A local pharmaceutical billionaire is offering a $100 million guarantee in support of L.A. County's proposal to fully open the South L.A. Hospital. The donor is former UCLA surgeon Patrick Soon-Shiong. He wrote a letter to the University of California Regents urging them to get involved in the project. Soon-Shiong says reopening the hospital will provide many health benefits for the South Los Angeles locals, especially at a time when healthcare is receiving a lot of attention.
It's now an opportunity for us to actually right a wrong in which disparities of care affect not only the entire community, it affects the nation.
King Hospital was built to serve one of the poorest neighborhoods in South Los Angeles. It partially closed in August 2007 after years of negligence that resulted in patient deaths. LA County public health workers are giving free H1N1 flu vaccinations in Boyle Heights, Azusa, and Watts today. Reporter LaTanya Kirkland visited the clinic in Watts and has this report.
The Watts Labor Community Action Committee hosted a free H1N1 vaccination clinic. Hundreds of people have arrived through the day to receive the shot. Vaccinations are being offered to priority groups, pregnant women, children 6 months to 24 years old, healthcare workers, and adults with chronic health conditions. Eliseo Martinez is a healthcare worker. He is required to get the vaccine. He is not certain he would get vaccinated otherwise, but he agrees that offering the vaccine is a positive move.
To take the precaution is better than to getting sick.
Harold Fellweather decided not to get the vaccine because he doesn't feel at risk. However, he is happy to see that the free vaccinations and information are being offered to the community.
I'm hoping that they'll learn something from the people here that are trying to help vaccinate some of the people for free, and the free thing helps get people here.
Timothy Watkins is the president and CEO of the Watts Labor Community Action Committee. The committee has made a concerted effort to inform the community about the vaccinations. He says there's a special need for information in Watts.
Because the people of Watts find themselves in often cases mired in abject poverty. What comes with abject poverty is a lack of awareness and other barriers to accessing what other communities take for granted. So
the WLCAC is not advocating for or against the vaccine, but Watkins hopes people will make the best decisions for themselves.
We're advocates for becoming informed. We think that if people are made aware of what the information is, then they can make decisions based on self-determination.
Free vaccinations will be offered at the WLCAC until 5 p.m. today and tomorrow from 8 a.m. to 5. LaTanya Kirkland, Annenberg Radio News.
Nearly 5,000 homeless people live on Skid Row. It's estimated that 75% of them have a chronic health condition, and all have very little access to health care. But the opening of a new medical center on Skid Row may change that. Karen Marcus has the story.
The Center of Community Health of downtown L.A. sits on the corner of 5th Street and San Pedro.
Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, Councilwoman Jan Perry, and other community members were on hand for the opening. The mayor says it's an important step for Skid Row.
I think health care is a right, not a privilege. And so what you do here today is you really vindicate that idea that every one of us deserve quality health care.
The clinic will provide service to nearly 9,000 patients a year, seeing around 120 patients a day. It will offer medical and dental care, mental health services, substance abuse help, ophthalmology, and pharmaceutical services. There are more than 18,000 homeless on Skid Row. The John Wesley Community Health Institute says 89% of them have no health insurance. Dr. Paul Gregerson says they need to bridge the gap and provide health care for the homeless.
Unfortunately, I've also seen what can happen when patients with severe mental illness access mental health at one site and primary care at another, when there's no continuity of care between providers or agencies.
The clinic is a partnership between the Weingart Center Association, the John Wesley Community Health Institute, and the County of Los Angeles. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
Several organizations protested for immigrants' rights outside of the Los Angeles County Jail today. Stephanie Guzman reports from downtown Los Angeles.
Holding signs and chanting, immigration and civil rights organizations protested the 287G agreement. Before 1994, the federal government enforced immigration laws. With the 287G agreement, local law enforcement are trained to enforce immigration laws in jails and on the streets. The Los Angeles Police Department does not participate in the agreement, but the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department does.
They're identifying and they're interrogating all Latino prisoners.
Javier Rodriguez is from the March 25 Coalition.
That's why the racial profiling is so bad.
LAPD Chief William Bratton says his department does not participate in the 287G agreement because it creates fear among immigrants and mistrust of the police. When undocumented immigrants are arrested, they are not eligible to be released on bail. Martha Rojas from the Coalition Against Foreclosures and Evictions says this disrupts families and communities.
You're talking about, you know, breadwinner, you know, the dad. And then what happens is, you know, our families get separated. And the children, what about the children that are born here? You know, they have a right for their father, you know, to get an opportunity to come out on bail bond and go to court.
The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department is still negotiating whether to renew their 287G agreement. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
The first National Asian American Civil Rights Conference kicked off today in downtown L.A. This two-day event is bringing community and government leaders together to discuss issues that affect the community. Newly Paul listened in on today's morning session.
10 years ago, Ismael Eleto lost his younger brother Joseph to a hate crime. Joseph was a young Filipino postal worker who was shot dead by white supremacist Buford Farro in August 1999. Just before he killed Eleto, Farro shot and wounded 5 people at the LA Jewish Community Center in Granada Hills. Ironically, Mayor Villaraigosa was scheduled to attend the conference this morning. He cancelled his visit to be with families of the victims who were shot and wounded this morning at a North Hollywood synagogue. Since his brother's death, Eleto has been attending conferences like this to stress the importance of stronger hate crime legislation.
If these officials or media are not thinking about us when we're getting hurt or killed, how much do they think about us when they're making their policies?
According to the 2008 National Asian American Survey, close to 10% of Asian Americans interviewed said they had been a victim of hate crimes. The figure is highest among Indian, Japanese, and Chinese Americans. Eleto says even after 10 years, he's not sure if perception about Asian Americans have changed.
We do count. We're not just here just to work and stuff. We're here to be part of this society.
For the remainder of today and into tomorrow, speakers will touch upon issues of immigration reform, civil rights, healthcare, and gay rights. Newly Paul, Annenberg Radio News.
And now for the weather. Tonight expect it to get chilly with temperatures in the low 50s. Tomorrow we'll see sunny skies with a high of 76 and a low of 56. This weekend, it'll heat up with highs in the low 80s during the day. But if you're planning on trick-or-treating or chaperoning little ghosts and ghouls, make sure you bring a jacket. Evening lows will be near 60 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we hear from the billionaire who is helping Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital reopen its doors. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa today interviewed a second candidate for the job of Los Angeles Police Chief. Outgoing Chief William Bratton steps down on Saturday. Heather Hope has a roundup of the three LAPD officers under consideration for the top job.
The mayor has a big decision to make, says LA Times LAPD reporter Joel Rubin, on the selection process for the next chief.
The mayor has said he is shooting for Monday, but it might take him a day or two longer to make his decision.
Out of the 13 candidates, the three finalists are all LAPD insiders. Rubin says each one of them brings close to 30 years of experience, and all are roughly the same age. The finalists are Jim McDonnell, Charlie Beck, and Michael Moore. The candidate who seems to be a popular choice, Rubin says, is Assistant Chief Jim McDonnell. He's the second in command as Bratton's chief of staff.
McDonald is seen as sort of as the ambassador of the department. He's in his position. He's the one who goes to a lot of the public events. He's well-liked. He's very comfortable in social situations. He's seen sort of as the friendly guy amongst the group.
Unlike McDonald, Rubin says that Michael Moore would make a more no-nonsense type of chief.
Moore is seen as much more intense. He's the commander out in the San Fernando Valley. And runs a very tight ship over there, by all accounts.
For the finalists of more of Chief Bratton's reforming vision, Rubin says Deputy Chief Charlie Moore fits the description.
Beck is more of a laid-back character. He's very highly thought of by a lot of people who are pushing for reforms in the department.
The mayor will make a decision after extensive interviews with all three candidates. The city council will vote on it, and LA is expected to have its new chief in place by November 10th. Heather Hope, Annenberg Radio News.
The film Skin, which opens tomorrow in theaters around Los Angeles, tells the story of a black girl born to white Afrikaner parents in the 50s. Throughout her life, she struggles with her racial identity. Earlier today, I spoke with the film's director, Tony Fabian. What did you learn about race while making this movie?
Well, I suppose the main thing I learned is how tribal we are as human beings, and that we all feel the need to identify with a particular group and belong to that group. I think the danger of that instinct is that it can also lead to our desire to exclude people who are different from ourselves or who don't belong to our group, and that's where it can all go wrong.
What are you hoping this film will accomplish in terms of teaching people about race or racial identity?
Well, I think what I hope it will tell people is that if you can have two people who appear to be of different races within one family, what does it really mean to be white or black? Do these definitions actually have any real meaning, or should we be looking beyond the surface to the human being under the skin? And the Africans have a concept which is known as Ubuntu. And basically what that means is that we're all bound together by our common humanity rather than the things that divide us. So I think that's really the message of the film, and I'm hoping that people will learn to see beyond the surface.
Why or how is this movie relevant to audiences? Like, why should people go see the movie?
Right now, you have a biracial president in the United States, and the issue of racial identity has really come to the fore. Also, there seems to be a lot more debate about racism in general. When the president wanted to put forward health reforms, rather than discussing those reforms, people were talking about whether Obama hates white people or not. You know, it sort of gets reduced to that kind of debate. And I think a film like Skin helps to promote more discussion and perhaps bring to the surface things that people haven't really felt that comfortable talking about until now. Films like this are very hard to get off the ground. This film has been 9 years in the making, and yet when people see it, they absolutely love it. So it's very important that people get out there and support the film, that they come and see it, they tell their friends, because that's the only way that films like this will ever continue to be made, is if they're supported by the public.
That was Tony Fabian, the director, producer, and writer of Skin, which will be premiering in Los Angeles tomorrow. Now back to the effort to reopen Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital. A surgeon billionaire has stepped forward to give financial backing to get the South Los Angeles Hospital back in business. Elena Hostetter reports.
Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital closed 2 years ago amid allegations of mismanagement and the wrongful deaths of patients. The hospital failed a federal inspection and was forced to shut its doors. Now the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors is pushing for the hospital to reopen, and they're getting some help from Dr. Patrick Soon Sheong, a private donor who is interested in seeing the hospital reopen.
Well, I see truly an opportunity to leapfrog using technology, bring the best care, the highest quality of care to the underserved. The opportunity for me now to be a catalyst for the LA County and the UC system to come together and open up this institution, to me, is a privilege.
The catalyst needed is Dr. Soon Sheong's $100 million. Soon Sheong's background is in cancer care. He made billions in biotechnology and even helped develop cancer drugs himself. As an immigrant from South Africa, he saw some of the worst healthcare conditions in the world. Now he's committed to changing disparities in healthcare.
It was an issue of money, needed of leadership and commitment to address the disparity down there.
The closing of King Hospital put a big strain on the healthcare system because patients had to find other hospitals to go to. County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas has made reopening the medical center a priority.
Well, the need is profound, and it's not just the Watts Willowbrook community, it is all the communities that surround it.
Ridley Thomas says the medical center will undergo major changes before it can reopen.
This is a whole new design. This is not a traditional county hospital as it had been conceptualized. This is a private nonprofit entity operated by an independent governing board.
Professor Michael Cosino at USC's Keck School of Medicine also wants to see it reopen. He says money is not the only thing King Hospital needs.
Well, it can be successful if we get an operator. The University of California still has to step up and provide the administrative and clinical management of the hospital. This donation is huge, there's no doubt about it.
The Board of Regents for the University of California, which oversees the hospital plans, will vote on November 19th whether to accept the funds and make way towards reopening the hospital. Elena Hostetter, Annenberg Radio News.
To my surprise,
he did the match.
He did the monster match.
The monster match.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the match.
It caught on in a flash.
With the weather getting colder, it finally feels like Halloween. Our Sydney champion talked to locals to find out what they're doing for the spooky holiday.
For Halloween, I'm going to a get-together that my church is having. It's all of the single adults from 27 to 45 getting together, and it's just a lot of activities.
Thinking about going to a hell house, they kind of show like what hell is going to be like if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you know what I mean?
I'm actually going to a party at one of the dental frats.
I was planning on picking up my granddaughter, and her mother says she's going to take her Halloween for the festivities, and she's going to take her to the mall.
We heard from Andrea Heinrichs, David Adams, Stacy Strong, and Atlian Stepney. Now we check in with Rachel Thomas to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Rachel?
Thanks, Brittany. The man convicted of stabbing USC student Brian Frost was sentenced today. Hear the emotional memories of Frost's family shared in court. You can check us out on Trojan Vision at 6 o'clock.
Thanks a lot, Rachel. That wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brittany Knotts. Good night and have a happy Halloween.